Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Life from All Sides. I'm your host, Kim B. Miller. And every second and fourth Friday, we'll get together and talk about life from a different angle. Today's show, we'll be talking about parenting and parenting talk, and we've had these continuing theme going on for quite a while now, and we're going to keep that going because some people have asked me to do some more shows on it and have sent me some questions and things to go over. But before we get deep into the show, let me give you the call-in number, 646-716-9132. Again, that's 646-716-9132. And as always, I appreciate your tweets, your emails, etc. You can email me at kmiller@loveyourkids.com. Again, kmiller@loveyourkidsmore.com. And I have a couple of websites, loveyourkidsmore.com or kimbmiller.com. Okay, so today's show is on parenting. And if you're online, you can see some of the slides. If you're on the phone, you will not be able to see the slide. But the slide, basically, I'll go over it so you won't feel like you're missing anything. So you're good to go there. So when we talk about modeling, we're talking about modeling behavior. And someone asked me to go over this for a couple of reasons, and whenever people ask me to go over things, one, I don't give their name or the information, so don't bother tweeting me and asking me or emailing me and asking me, because it's not about who asks, it's about helping everybody. That's the point of the show, that's the point of the call, and it's always great to get other people's input, so if you feel like you want to say something, feel free. Now, we talk about modeling behavior. We talk about what are we showing our kids. What are we showing them they should be doing? What are we showing them they shouldn't be doing? Because a lot of us are good talkers, but not good modelers. And what I say by modelers, or models, I should say, not good models, not good Naomi Campbell going on, not good Tyra Banks, modeling the behavior we say we want. So we say we want our children to act respectfully and lovingly and honestly. But are we modeling that behavior to them so they know what it looks like? It's hard for a kid to make the assumptions of exactly what you want them to hear, want them to say, want them to be, want them to become when you're not exactly modeling it yourself. And once again, if you listen to any of my shows, you know it's not about perfection. It's not about you have to be right 100% of the time because, hey, we're all flawed, too. And that's one of the first things we need to tell our kids. We ain't perfect. We ain't trying to be perfect. We're flawed human beings trying to do the best we can but what we got. But in the same token, if you tell them honesty is the best policy and they've seen you in 20 different situations lie, and you'll say, well, I never lied to them, and that may be true, but let's say the cop pulls you over and asks you how fast you were going, and your kid just said, Mommy, wow, look, you're going 70. And the cop pulls you over and says, well, ma'am, you know why I pulled you over? Your answer is no. And he goes, well, you were doing, 70 and a 55. I was not doing 70. You blah, 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 blah. So, that's stage one. And I'm not saying you shouldn't try to get out a ticket. That's between you and your gut and your decision to make. But I'm saying is the little lies add up. So that's one. Okay, you go to another place. Let's say a movie theater. Tickets for how many? Two. He's a child. When he's past that child age for a ticket, because a child ticket is cheaper. Now, sometimes, which is, cute, you can find 1,000 pictures or a video online where the kid is going, no, I'm such and such age. And then the parent is really mad. I'm like, so you're mad your child told the truth. So, again, getting back to the subject before I get off on that whole scenario of lying about the movie theater, is that you're showing your child that it's okay to lie. Now, later on, there may be a situation where you need the truth from your child. And you're saying, remember, I told you, Honesty is the best policy. Yeah, you told me that. That's true. But what have you done in front of me? And you may say, I don't understand where he's getting that from. And not realizing the several times you showed him or her that lying is the best policy. Or lying is the best policy when you get caught. Because it's when you use the lie, it's also how you teach when the lie should be used. For example, if every time you get caught with something you lie, don't be surprised when every time they get caught with something or doing something, they lie. They're modeling behavior that we're teaching them, and then we're wondering where they get it from when we say, well, we don't lie personally to you, but if you still lie, lying is lying. People aren't too good, especially kids. They don't have the brain power to make the distinction of a certain kind of lie versus another certain kind of lie. So if you want to get that honesty that you're seeking, then you're going to have to live it. And once again, I'm not faulting anybody. We've all done things that are dishonest. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is if you see a modeling behavior of dishonesty in your children, maybe you need to take a little time to see if that is behavior they're modeling because they've seen it in you, your spouse, or someone else in the family. It may not even be you. But if they're surrounded by someone who's constantly lying, even if you're not the liar, it doesn't mean that they can't pick that behavior up. And another thing we constantly, the old saying was, do as I say, not as I do. And we all at this point realize that it's just a big waste of time because I've seen people with a cigarette hanging out their mouth telling their kids don't smoke. If you don't want them to smoke, then don't you smoke. And I'm not saying, once again, I'm not saying if you've been smoking for 10 years, you can just up and break the habit. No, I'm not saying it would be easy or anything. It would be more beneficial if you said, you see this cigarette? I spent $20 of my paycheck. I barely had enough money to pay the water bill, but I have to get these cigarettes because I'm so addicted. I hope you don't join me in this path. There's a difference between saying that and just simply saying, don't smoke because I said so. Send an example. Lead by example. If you're modeling the behavior of this is horrible, you also want to show a way to get out of it. Because if you say, for instance, with the smoking example, if you say, well, I really shouldn't be smoking, but it's a habit I formed and I don't know how to get out of it. Honest, honest, and honest. Also, though, you want to show that you're looking for ways out of it because they can come to you with that same sort of honesty and you're going to want them to say, okay, that's true, but what are you doing now? You're going to want them to go the next step. So if you want them to go the next step, model the next step so they can see it and see what that looks like. Yes, I started off smoking 10 years ago. Yes, it's a bad habit and I'm spending too much money on it. But I'm going to Smokers Anonymous. I'm trying to patch. I have something with my doctor. Show that you have a plan or something that you're working on to get out of it. If you just say, well, I've been doing it for 10 years, what is going to encourage them that once they're in something that's not good for them for 10 years, that there's a way out. Once again, for those of you who are probably saying, oh, here she goes again with that, you know, you're the responsible person. And yes, once they get to a certain age, it's on them. It's their life. They have responsibility over it. Absolutely 100% true. But sometimes we see the same behavior modeling and we're not owning that we may have planted that seed and watered it and fertilized it and encouraged our children to become something we didn't want them to be. And then some people are actually looking back and going, gee, where'd that come from? I have no clue. When I've, you know, seen you lie in front of your child 20 times and you're like, I don't understand why he never tells me the truth. Really? You don't understand why? And, you know, it's hard to turn that pattern around, but you're not even going to look at the pattern if you don't acknowledge that you're part of the modeling that they're doing. Because some people believe if I never lie to my child, they should never lie to me. Nothing wrong with that policy. But if every place else they go with you, every place else they sit with you, every place else they see you interact with someone else, you're lying, it's going to be hard for them to connect those two together. So just, you know, keep that in mind as you're determining the characteristics you want your children to have and the things you're looking for them to become, that the role model is a role model when they're not trying to be a role model. You're modeling when you're not modeling. You're modeling when you're speaking. You're modeling by how you talk to your significant other. You're modeling by how you treat that janitor in the street, that janitor in the bathroom. You're modeling to them by how you interact with others. The speeches you give at home are crucial and important and are needed. But if you're only giving speeches at home and not modeling that behavior outside the house, you might as well not give the speeches at home, because now you're teaching them what hypocrisy is, and you're teaching them that, you know, hypocrite, you know, be one way here, and then be someplace, when you're someplace else, be a different sort of person. And then you're going to want them to put you in the good person role, or to be the person that they treat that truthfulness and goodness to. But if that's not what they see consistently from you, it's sometimes hard to switch on and off what they don't see consistently. So, now, I had a friend who cursed a lot in front of their kid. Now, for those of you who do it, I'm not faulting you. I don't do it. Doesn't mean it's right or wrong. It's just how I do my household. You do your household whichever way you see fit. Now, they got into a discussion about something, and it got heated, and a curse word flew out. And he was outraged. How dare he curse? And I'm like, you curse like a sailor 24/7 in front of your child. And once again, I'm not the person who believes because an adult can do it, a child can do it. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is when they hear that on a consistent basis, that when you get upset, the first word out your mouth is this. When you get happy, the first word out your mouth is this. When some sort of excitement happens in your life, the first thing out your mouth is a curse word, perhaps they're going to think that that's how they should speak. That doesn't mean that means they should speak that way to you. I'm not condoning that. Once again, this is not about condoning and that, you know, a kid is a kid and they know their place. All that is 100% true. What we're talking about, solidifying a person who you're trying to get to where they need to be, and how do they get to where they need to be if you are talking one way and acting a different way. So what I was alluding to earlier was that sometimes we want godly principles in a child we haven't taught God to. And I'm going to say that one again. Sometimes we want godly attributes from a child we haven't taught God to. You want that child to be loving. You want that child to be respectful. You want that child to be appreciative. You want that child to be thankful. You want that child to be forgiving. All of those excellent godly qualities, for those of you who've listened to other shows know I'm a Christian, all of those excellent qualities that the Lord has taught us we all need to be. But, no but on the, obviously, the church part, because, you know, that's all true. But what are we doing to show that that's true? If we read the Bible, and before we put it down, we're contradicting what we just read, it sends a message to them. You read it, but you don't really live it. If we read it together as a family, or go to a Bible study, or if you are Jewish and you go to your studies, or if you're a Muslim and you go to your studies, and you just read a principle on forgiveness, and then someone bumps your parent in the hallway and they go off, it's going to be a little hard to associate the fact that you just finished learning about forgiveness and here we are 2 minutes later and you can't even illustrate what you just went over, but you want me to live it. You see what I mean? It's not about the fact that you're not going to have ups and downs and things of that nature. And even if you catch yourself in the middle of that and go, wow, I just learned about this, or I just got a, you know, refresher on the fact that how forgiveness is really, you know, refreshing for my soul. Go back and make that situation right. It's not about being 100% of the time right. It's about showing what you do when you're wrong. Because if you handled that situation wrong and you go back and apologize and you say to the person, you know what, I'm so sorry, my mind was just someplace else. You know, it wasn't a big deal. You bumped into me by mistake. You're showing your child that you can make that mistake, acknowledge it, correct it, and not be a lesser person for doing it. Because if you are the one who gets in the car and goes, I was wrong, but I ain't never going back to saying nothing right. I don't apologize to nobody. I don't undo a wrong. Aren't you kind of creating that situation in their mind that that's the way it should be? Because you're saying that that's okay. You're saying that that's the way you should be, as opposed to when you make a mistake, admit it. Now, later on, that situation will come up and they've broken something in the house, and you'll say, well, why didn't you just tell me? Why didn't I just tell you? Okay, now, I've seen you in action, and I just gave you an example. I've seen you in action, this is just hypothetical. I've seen you in action 15 different times, and you've never been forgiven. Yet, you want me, when I broke something by accident in the house, to come to you and go, guess what I did by accident? You're asking for the right things, but how are you going to get that if each time they approach or each time they see you approach a situation, forgiveness is the last thing that's on your mind. And as a matter of fact, you blatantly come out and told them that there will be no forgiveness for A, B, C, D. You know that list you have. Come on now, people. Come on. Come on now. You know that list you have in your head. The following five things I'm not forgiving nobody for. I don't care what they are. You're modeling all that stuff for them to see. And you think you aren't. You think, well, this is something I'm doing, but they don't know it or they don't see it. Kids are so smart. They are I call them the great interpreters. There's no gray. It's black or white. You're either forgiving or you're not. You're either loving or you're not. And that's the beauty of kids. There's no ambiguity. There's no, well, let me see. They base their opinion on what is. And that what is clear, concise, and clear. And if we could get on that path a little more and show them how fallacies and how mistakes can happen, but how they can be corrected, then we can get them on the path they need to go on. If the approach is going to be, I'm right, I'm never wrong, don't say nothing, then you're going to get, I'm right, I'm wrong, don't say nothing, little imitators doing that back to you. And if forgiveness is only good for somebody else, because, you know, there's times they've been in people's house and they've spilled stuff, and the person's like, oh, it's okay, not a big deal, and they want to clean it up. And 2 minutes later, your child spills something, and it's a big World War III. What difference does it make who spilled it? If it's something that can be cleaned up, it's something that's going to be cleaned up. It's just a mistake. But sometimes we only show forgiveness to others. And you don't want to get your child in the opinion that everybody should be forgiven but them. Everybody should be given a second chance but them. Everybody but them. So if you want those godly attributes, if you want to see that in your child, if you want to see that blossoming, don't just read them the biblical context. Don't just point it out when they're wrong. Don't just say, oh, you just did such and such. You know, in Matthew it says, you know, point out also when they're doing it right. You know, what you did for your brother there was nice. What you did for your sister there was nice. What you did for the teacher there was right. That's biblically sound. You know what I found in the Bible? Blah, 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 blah. Don't just use it as a beat-up tool. You're not doing that, so here is the scripture of what you're not doing. Use the scripture of what they are doing. If you're going to use scripture to teach, use it to teach the good and the bad. Don't use it as a weapon of discipline. Because then it's going to be something to avoid because it's the bad thing. This is the book for what I did bad. You want to teach them this is a learning tool. This is a book that will get you through hard times. This is a book that will help you when you have some confusion and doubts in your mind. Not this is the you didn't do right book. This is the, aha, found something else you're screwing up on book. This is a way to give you another perspective, a way to get you to see from someone else's point of view, a way for you to look at life through somebody else's glasses, a way for you to show empathy for another human being, a way for you to step outside of yourself and see it from someone else's point of view instead of me, 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 and me. But once again, a lot of that is done by modeling. It doesn't mean being a pushover because some people email me and it's like, sounds like you're just saying just let them run everything. No, no, anybody knows me or know any of my children, no, 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 no. That is not my philosophy at all. I'm not for that. But I am for expecting, having a high expectation, and that high expectation being based on the guidelines you provided and the foundation you provided, because the behavior you're modeling will get them where you want them to go. And if you make a mistake, that's even better, because you're going to show them what happens when you make a mistake. You're going to make that mistake right. You're going to right that wrong, and you're going to show them it's not the end of the world to say sorry. It's not the end of the world to be wrong. It's not the end of the world to admit you're wrong. Those are the sort of things that you can model and teach them, not even trying, just living your life and modeling behavior. You can show them how that's done. And by all means, listen to what they have to say. That's a big modeling behavior that parents sometimes do not do. We are so set on being heard, making sure we are heard, that we don't listen. And you want to show your child that what they say is important. You want to show them that their opinion has value. You want to show them that their opinion counts, and you have to model that by listening. If they open up their mouth to say, well, here's what happened. I don't want to hear that. I already know. Okay. You're telling them, not directly, that their point doesn't even matter. And then sometimes later, and this is not universal by all means, sometimes later you'll see them interact with friends and go, how come you never speak up? How come you never say your point? How come you never, you know, make sure your point is heard or that your opinion counts? Well, for some of those people, and this isn't universal by all means, but for some of those kids, it's because they've already learned at home that their opinion does not count, they don't need to be heard, that even if they're right, it doesn't matter because you're not going to listen. And that's not the sort of atmosphere you want your child to think that their opinion is worth. You want them to know that their opinion has worth. Well, the first person who's going to show them that is you. You're going to model that for them so that when someone actually does be abrupt or doesn't even hear them out or doesn't let their opinion, tells them their opinion means nothing, they will already have lived and know that that's not true. I live this every day, and even when my parents disagree with me, even when they think I'm wrong, they hear me out. My opinion counts. They told me that. They modeled that. They showed that, and they believe that. So if you want that sort of intuitiveness in your child, you have to show them where that starts from, because someone who is honored and loved on at home, who is given that chance, has a better chance once they get out in the world. Now, I'm not saying you could do that 120% and that means your child is going to be that person, but you surely don't want to be the stifling one behind the cause of your child not being all that they can be. And as we all know, when we see all these shows and things that happen, the first thing they ask you is, tell me about your childhood. That's the first thing they ask you, because everything is based on that building block, that foundation that we lay down. We are the carpenters. And if we don't be precisely right but how we carpent, we can make so many detrimental mistakes. And once again, it's not about the mistake you don't correct, it's about the mistake you let go and are proud of. Yeah, I told him I was wrong, but I'm not going to do nothing about it. Those are the sort of things. Well, let me tell you what happened, because I don't think what you heard was right. Ah, shut up, I already know. Okay, that's the sort of stuff. You can only hear that so many times before you think, my opinion doesn't count. So you want this person, this little person, when they go off to college or something, when they have an issue, to call you, the person who wouldn't listen to them when they were 2 inches from their face. But you want that open relationship. You want that friendly interaction. You want to know if something detrimental happens or something that they're not proud of or something that they're ashamed of or something that they were hurt. You want them to call you. Well, why would they? When they were in the house with you, you didn't treat them any better. Why would I call long distance to be told off and to be told I should have done something that I didn't do, or not giving any sympathy or not getting any empathy? Why would I call to be badgered? Why would that person call? So you have to ask yourself these things before you set up your relationship with your child. Once again, I'm not saying be anybody's friend, because there's still ways to institute a lot of these things without being someone's buddy. But I tell you, a totalitarian dictator doesn't get called with problems. So careful how you set it up. If you're the one that is always right and they can never speak and it's your way or the highway, there's nothing wrong with that in certain instances because certain things do have to be absolute, absolutely. But I'm talking about different things when they want to be heard. They want you to hear their point of view. They want you to hear what they're thinking and not have to feel like, you know, what they say is going to sound stupid to you. If you model to them that their words, even if you disagree with them, are worth hearing, then you have set a seed in their head and in their soul and in their spirit that when I speak is worth hearing, and that when someone comes across them or comes up to them that doesn't honor that, then they're not worthy to be around. It's nothing wrong with them. It's something wrong with the other person. And then they'll find someone who's on the same plane, who's on that same playing field. You don't want them to find someone who's going to take them further down a path that you didn't want them to go. But we have to be careful about how they get to that path. And some of us think if we didn't directly speak to them or if we indirectly and it wasn't about them and we're sorry and we didn't mean it, did you ever tell them that you were sorry? Did you ever tell them you didn't mean it? Did you ever correct it in front of them? Because you kind of are expecting them to know something that they don't see. You're expecting them to feel something they have not been shown. You're expecting them to be someone without the foundation to do it. So, anyway, not a preaching but a teaching, hopefully. And like I said, I always tell people, don't just take my point of view and make it yours, but just think about some of the things I've said. Think about some of the points that I've made and think about your own life and things that happened with your parents and how things went down. Because when you get out of the frame of mind of you and your child and you think back to you and your parents, then it's a little easier to swallow that some of the stuff you may have seen was modeled and some of the stuff you picked up yourself. Not everything is a parent's fault. This is not about fault. This is about seeing possibly where they could have gotten it from. Well, as with every show, I try to come up with a chemism to end the show. And for this one, I guess I will do a parenting one since we're talking about parenting. And for this one is basically, are you modeling the behavior that you want to see? Are you the tree looking at a fruit that's rotten, wondering how it got rotten? Because you can't get good fruit from a rotten tree. So if you want your child to be that one, then put that foundation as firm and as godly as you can get it. Make it as productive as you can get it. Be open. And even now, if you've been the parent that's been in the ditch, you can still come out of the ditch and say, you know what, I've been wrong, and if you would give me the opportunity to talk to you, I'd like to talk to you about ways I can make it right. You know, kids are really resilient. They will give you a chance after chance after chance after chance. But there will come a point when they get old enough, the foundation is built. As they say, the foundation is built, the house is set, and that ship has sailed. So while we have time and while they're willing to listen, let's make sure we model something that's worth modeling, even if it's forgiveness, even if I made a mistake and I made it right. Not about perfection, just about doing the best we can with what we got. Well, I will see you the second or fourth Friday. And as always, God bless. Take care. Email me with all your comments, as you always do. KMiller@loveyourkids.com. Thanks.